Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 174 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Tuesday, May 14th, 2014. I am your host, Mark Kuznets, and that date was wrong. It's the 13th. It is May 13th. If you can't tell by my voice, I don't know if it does sound a bit off or not. I am sick. I have been for a few days. It's annoying, though I guess part of me is happy that this is happening now and not during graduation, even though I don't want to participate in graduation. And then also part of me thinks that this is punishment for not wanting to participate in graduation. But that is my Mother's Day gift to my mother, because she really wants it for some reason. But I do want to apologize in advance for any coughing or sniffling or anything of the like that may happen during the show. If it's really disgusting, like if it's really phlegmy and liquidy and just sounds like mucusy and just absolutely disgusting, I'll take that out. But if it's just sort of a little sniffle or a little cough, a little clearing of the throat, I'm just going to leave it in, because being sick, I also am not at all motivated to do much of anything. I'm just kind of, I don't want to do anything. I was excited to do a few things today, but I can't. And I don't know where this sickness is going yet. It just seems to be a light fever, but it's still here, and it's still annoying the hell out of me. And I'm really hoping it's gone by tomorrow, because I do have to. I can't not go downtown tomorrow because I have to pick up my cap and gown, and they will not let me send someone else to get it for me. So that's awesome. And I'm sure everyone listening to the show is like, especially if you're a first-time listener, you're like, I thought this was about the board games. I don't know why I'm giving you a stupid voice. I'm sorry for that. But, you know, of course, I'm sure you do actually sound like that, so don't be offended. But
I thought this was about the board games, but there's no talk about board games at all.
And then you just keep going on and on with that noise. I'm going to get to board games, and I'm going to get to them right now. I've only played a few. I'm also going to mention some Kickstarter things in a little bit. But first and foremost, I want to start off with what I have been playing. And the main two games I've played that are new and different and maybe exciting are Kittens in a Blender and Friday. I'm going to start with Kittens in a Blender. And Kittens in a Blender is a very simple, fast-paced, light card game with a theme that maybe it will turn off some people because they don't actually want to think about kittens being in a blender, but I don't know anyone who loves cats more than me. I absolutely adore cats and kittens and large felines. They're my favorite animals, my favorite species of animals, and the tiger is my favorite animal on the planet. So I, of course, in real life, would never want to put a kitten in a blender, but there's something about that as a theme, as a game, that I find hilarious. And I think a lot of people think it's kind of funny. And it's cute because you have all these cutesy kitten cards, and then you're putting them in a blender, and then you're blending them. And it's all ridiculous, you know? I would obviously be very off-put if someone I was playing with said, you know what would make this game better, way better, if it was real. Now, if somebody ever said that to me when playing Kittens in a Blender, I would probably punch them in the face, if I believe them. But I don't think there's anyone who's concerned that this is real in any way, that there are people out there who put kittens in blenders. I'm sure probably somewhere, at some point, someone put a kitten in a blender because everything's happened. But, yeah, I've seen some people who have gotten a little bit offended, or they're just taken aback by the theme. They think it's kind of sick and just not very nice, but it's just a theme. It's a game. it's just a joke. But those are probably the same people who don't like shows like South Park or Family Guy or anything that's could have the potential to be offensive in some way. But anyway, to the actual game, Kittens in a Blender is a card game, 2 to 4 people, depending on how many people you're playing with. You take out a certain color of cards because there are colors for different groups of animals, different groups of your kittens. And this is because you just have them in the regular discard pile, the regular draw pile. And I could draw my opponent's kittens. They could draw mine. You know, there's no, you're not only allowed to use your own kittens or play your own kittens, which I think is a really great choice for the game. I think it would be a little funky if you could only just deal with, I mean, you could manipulate the cards after the fact, but I think being able to play their cards right from the start, your opponent's cards, that is a great little part of the rules that makes it a bit more fun. So the way it works is you take the box that the cards come in, that the game comes in, and you have these two oversized cards. One is a blender, one is a box. Now you put those, you take the top, you flip that over, and then you take the bottom, you just leave that there. And in both of those, you put the blender card in one of those covers, and then you put in the box oversized card in the other one. And then these will be your players, and then you put a space in the middle of them, in between them, and that is the counter. And these are the three spaces you can play a cat in. So when you have your hand, you'll have various cards. I may forget one or two, but you basically have the kitten cards, which are all just various kittens. They don't have any special, you know, there's no special abilities between kittens. They're just kittens with ridiculous names. So when you play one of them, you can play them in any of the three spaces. So you can put them in the blender, you can put them in the box, or you can put them in the counter. You want to put them in the box because that is how you'll end up scoring points at the end of the game. That's how you will save kittens. You have two actions per turn, so the reason why you might start off and put them in the blender, one, you put them in the blender if it's not your cat, because why would you want to save one of someone else's cats, kittens, whatever. So that's another reason for doing it, but also you have cards that have a certain number on them. They have a paw and then a certain number, and then that's how many moves you have with various kittens on the table. So if it has the number 3 on it, you can move 3 kittens, 1 space, you can move 1 kitten, 2 spaces, and then 1 space, or you can move 1 kitten, 3 spaces. So if you want to, and you have a 2, you can play one of your kittens in the blender, then play that card, and then move him to the counter, which is 1 move, and then move him from the counter to the box. But when you put a kitten in the blender or the box, they're not immediately safe, because they're just inside the blender. They're just in the box. To actually kill a kitten, you will have to actually blend the blender. You actually have to turn it on. And there are, I think, 8 blend cards. And then there are 8 blend cards that they have a little variation on them of pulse, which means when you play that card, the kittens that are in the box are saved. If you just play a regular blend card, then that all that does is kill the kittens in the blender. So if there are kittens in the blender, when you play a blend card, then you take those cards out, those kitten cards out, and put them behind the oversized blender card. And those kittens are dead for good. They cannot come back in the game. And you will get negative points for those cards at the end of the game, as you will get positive points for your cards that are saved in the box at the end of the game. So you're just doing this over and over again. You get to play 2 cards per turn, and it goes back and forth, back and forth. There's a lot of moving kittens around, and it's fun. I really like the game. I think the art is really cute. I think the theme is funny. As a kitten-cat lover, it doesn't bother me. It's really simple, and the mechanics work well. I think I don't know. It could get a bit old. I haven't played with full group of four people, which that could potentially get really hectic. But it seemed like a fairly decent game. I mean, my only problem with that, I'd say, is that it ends when all the blend cards have been used. So when all the pulse ones and the regular blend cards are used, the game's over. It did, honestly, it was probably about 10 minutes or so, but it felt longer. Now, I don't know why that was. When I was playing it, it was sort of, let's bring out this game because it's a game we can play and watch a TV show at the same time. And maybe that's why it felt longer, and that maybe that wasn't the best way to first play it, or maybe that's just not the best way to play that game, but it just seemed to drag on a bit. Near the end, it was just sort of like, where the hell are all the blend cards? I just want to play blend cards, even though nothing's in the blender, because I just want the game to end. And I think part of that was also because maybe, in certain cases, it wouldn't always happen this way, but we did get through the whole deck. So in other cases, depending on the shuffling, you could get a lot of the blend cards in the beginning, and you could, if you wanted to, if you had them all, or if you had the last one, you could end the game before all the kittens are even, in the blender or in the box. So that could be a potential, but, it's a fun little game. If you're a fan of card games, quick games, I'm sure it doesn't drag on as much if I was giving it my full attention, but I liked it. I liked the art, and I'll definitely play it again some more to give it a go. But the other game I played is more, I don't want to say it's more up my alley, but I am a vocal supporter of games that can be played solo. I think those are great. I'm not somebody who thinks solo games are stupid and that it doesn't make sense to, put up all these to set up a board and then just play it by yourself. I think I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm a really big fan of those. I'm always looking for more and more single player games or games that have single player variants. So now that I'm back from that cough, which you did not hear because I just checked the time and that's where I had edited it out. As a fan of solo games and always looking for recommendations, one I've been hearing about for a long, 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 long time is a game called Friday. Now, I finally got it because it's a fairly cheap game. I think I got it for about 10 or 11 bucks. I'm not exactly sure, but it was fairly cheap. And the thing about this game that is different than a lot of other games is that it is solo only. So it is not, I think there is a two-player variant, but as it stands, originally designed and the official rules, you can only play it solo. So it's a solo-only game. So it's not, there is no ability to play cooperatively or anything. So if you're not a fan of solo games, then Friday is definitely not a game you should check out at all. But Friday is a game where you play as Robinson, and it's based off of Robinson Crusoe, I believe. Not the board game, just the general story. And you're basically just trying to survive, and then when you get to the end, you'll be fighting off a few pirates, and you want to survive that as well. And I did not, though I ended up with positive points, which seems like a fairly decent first go. Because from what I've read in some cases, one, it seems like there are a lot of people who lose their first 20, 25 games before, winning. And to win the game, you have to defeat both pirates. Otherwise, you die because you'll lose all your life points if you don't beat them, because you have to go after them and try to beat them. And if you can't, then you just can't. So the way it works is that you have you pick your two random pirates that you will fight at the end of the game. You get to see them right at the beginning. You just shuffle the pirate deck and then take two cards from it, flip them over, and then you're like, okay, those are the pirate ships I have to look forward to. Then you have your phase cards, which is just a green, yellow, red, for the first, second, and third phase. If you can already tell, green is the first phase, yellow, middle phase, the second phase, and red is the third phase. And as the phase progresses, it gets more difficult. The cards you are fighting against will be harder to defeat. And then you have your life points, which I think in the base first, like the level one difficulty game, you get 18 or 20. And then you also take out one of the agent cards, which is this is I think it's like the very stupid card, which automatically gives you negative three, which you don't even know what that negative three means right now, because I am starting to get loopy and my throat is itching. But then you have your three boards. The first board, it's got a blue outline around it. That is your agent board. That's where your agent cards go. Your middle board, which has, I believe, a yellow outline. Those are your fighting cards, your Robinson cards. And you will use those to attack the hazard cards, which are in the third board with a green outline around them. So, after you've set all those up, you go through each phase. You're just trying to get through all these phases until you get to the pirate ships. And you want to defeat these hazards so that you can bring them into your fighting deck. So the hazard cards have two sides. The first side, which will be the hazard side you're attacking, will have a little number in like white. And whatever number is in there is how many free fighting cards you get to draw to attack this hazard. And then there'll be three numbers on the right, one in green, one in yellow, one in red. Whatever phase you're in, that's the number you have to either match or surpass with your fighting cards. And then on the flip side of that card, on the bottom, it's half half, is another. It's basically turning that card into a fighting card. So it'll have a certain number on there for how many fighting points it'll give you if you manage to win the battle and get it into your deck. And then it has like it may have a special action like times two exchange, which allows you to exchange two cards during battle and whatnot. So you draw two hazard cards, and then you pick one of them, whichever one you want to go after, whichever one you want to fight. Then the other one you put into the discard pile for the hazard cards, the hazard discard pile. And then look at the number on there, how many free cards you get, and you draw those. If you already manage to defeat that hazard with the free card, that's good. Then you just take those both those cards and put them in your Robinson, your fighting card discard pile. And then you do it again. If, say, you weren't able to defeat the hazard with your free cards, then you can choose to spend one life point each to draw new cards. And you can keep doing this as long as you want. And also, if a hazard card says you can draw three free cards, you don't have to if you've already beat it with your first card. Or if you drew, say, you need three fighting points to defeat the card, and you drew the first card and it was a negative one. Because there are negatives in here, so there are cards that are out to get you. Say that happens. You can choose to spend however many life points you would need. Like, say you drew that negative one, and then it's a three. So you can choose to draw to get rid of four life points, so that you can just negate that fight. And I'm still have to look at this rule, because this is the one where I'm confused at. If you do that, do you technically win that fight then, and then you get to take that card, or do you just put that in the discard pile? Because it's not super clear in the rules. That's the one rule that isn't super clear in the rule book, as far as I'm concerned. And then before I ever played it, which is why I think my first game went a little wonky, is just because I just watched a video, because I figured out that'll be simple, and the explanation in the video for the rules was pretty piss poor. But that is the one thing I'm not entirely certain about. But you can also choose when you're spending those life points in order to get rid of this battle, depending on how many cards you have played and how much they cost to get rid of. You can spend those life points also. You can use those life points to get rid of a card so you can take that negative one and get it out of your fighting card pile because it's hurting you. But at the same time, you may not want to get rid of all these cards all the time and have this super thin deck because you'll be going through it faster. And every time you go through your entire fighting deck, you have to draw one of the agent cards. And the agent cards are bad. They are very hurtful. They're very negative as far as your cards go. And those will go into your fighting pile. You'll shuffle them all in and then you'll start over. Now, like an agent card could be something like the very stupid card, which is a negative three, which would really hurt you in a battle. But there are also cards where it says, I think one of them, but I'm not sure if this is a different one, but like one of them I think says stop, which means if you drew that card, it's a zero and it says stop. That means you can't draw anymore. You're done, which means you're going to have to use life points in that case. Even if like that was the first card you drew on a card that allowed you three free cards, you're just screwed. There are ones that will change your highest card currently played or one that you may play later on if you're going to continue fighting in that current battle to zero. So maybe you had a card worth 3 points. Now that's worth zero. So the agent cards are very bad. You want as few as possible because also at the end of the game, those will count as negative 5 points for your total. So you keep doing this. You keep fighting the hazards. You're going through your Robinson deck and you're going through the hazard deck. You know, you add in aged cards every time you go through the entire Robinson deck. And then whenever you go through the entire hazard deck, you know, having put in, you know, having won battles, lost battles, take them all, shuffle them back together, then you change the phase. And now the phase will become, because it would be the second round by now, it becomes yellow. And that means everything, not everything, but all that changes is that when you're fighting, now you have to look at that yellow number. That's what's important. That's what you have to now reach. And they should be somewhat obtainable just because you should have stronger cards in your hand now. But it does get more difficult. So you want to try. I think it would make sense to get as many cards as possible in the beginning. And also because you want to have more cards in your deck just so you don't go through your Robinson hand, your Robinson deck so fast, because the agent cards are horrible. Not only, you know, do they give you those negative points, but they also really, really hurt you in a fight. So you do this all, and then you do it again, and get to the red phase, and then when you get through that phase, if you're still alive, because if you use all your life points, you can have no life points. But if you come at a point where you can't do something and you need to like go and use life points to get this or that and you have none left, game's over. You lost. And just count up your score at that point because you're dead and you have nothing. But if you have zero life points and there's no reason you need to spend any at some point or wherever you are, you're still good. And there are cards that will give you life points back, so that's not horrible. It's obviously not good because life points will give you points at the end, which means you'd have to win the game. But also, I mean, without life points, you're still okay. You don't need to panic yet. But once you get through all those rounds, then you finally fight the pirates. And the pirates will have a fairly high HP level that you have to hit. And they will also give you a lot of cards that you can flip over for free. And some will have certain abilities or just sort of effects they add to that particular battle. There's one that's like 52 HP, but it gives you +1 to all of your fighting cards. So that's not bad. And you may think that 52 is an unbeatable pirate ship, but it can be beaten because there are cards that will multiply the power of a card's number, and though if you have two of those that can multiply, you can't use those on the same card. You can use them on different cards. If you have two threes, you can make them both. You can turn both of them into sixes, but you can't turn a six into then a 12 and all that. But yeah, when you get to the pirate stage, you have to defeat both pirates or you'll die and then you lose. The only way to win the game is to defeat the pirates, to get through all the phases and then to reach the pirates and defeat both of them. You can still end up with positive points without winning the game, but you can't win the game without defeating the pirates. So in my first game, I actually ended up with positive points, as I said, much to my surprise. And I did a fairly, a much more extensive Instaboardgramming of this. I haven't published that yet because I'm actually doing the captions for that. So that may be up after or before this podcast. Not sure yet. But in my game, I ended with, I wrote it on my little whiteboard. So I had the way you score it is you add up the total number of points on your fighting cards. Then you will subtract 5 points for each agent card you have. Then you will add 15 points for each pirate card you have that you defeated. And then you will lose 3 points for each hazard card you did not, that is, you just did not get into your fighting pile that you never defeated. So for me, what I ended up with is I had 26 points for my fighting cards. I lost 10 for the agent cards in my fighting deck. And then I had plus 15 for defeating one pirate. And then I lost 24 points for the hazard. So that left me with 7 points. I believe my math is somewhat correct. I don't know. I'm not going to do the math right now. But it left me with a positive number. So that was pretty cool. Now I actually want to do the math. That'd be 34. Yeah, 7, okay. So I was happy about that, though. I guess I'm happy with that as my first game, just because I've seen people who say, oh, I had negative 30-something on my first round. I'm like, damn, at least I didn't have that. But then I looked at another person, and I'm like, oh, I had 100-and-something points. I'm like, son of a, I didn't have nowhere near that. I can't even imagine that being possible. But I really, and also, if you defeated the pirates, you'd get, like, I think, plus 3 points for each life point you still had left. So, that's Friday. Weird name. I may be missing something really obvious, but I'm not exactly sure where the name comes from. It just means weird. Just because you say to someone, hey, I played a really good game. It's called Friday. What? You played a game on Friday? No, it's called Friday. And also with that song, it just can't help, oh, it's Friday, gotta get down on Friday and play some Friday. You gotta get down on Friday and play some Friday. Or you could be talking about the movie. I was kind of sad that there was no Chris Tucker or Ice Cube in this game. But yeah, can't have everything, can you? Mm-mm. But if you're a fan, I think, I don't want to say that even people who aren't huge fans of solo board games will like this, but I think it's a really, really well put together solo single player board game. It's really well thought out, probably because it's a solo game from the start. That's what it is. The components aren't bad. I think the life point pieces are super weird because they just look like green French fries to me. They don't look like people or any. I don't know. They're weird. Or like there are a whole bunch of arrowheads jammed together. I don't understand what they're supposed to be. I've heard some people refer to them as like people, or like they're supposed to be little him. They just look like French fries, and I don't like them. But the boards are nice. It comes in a really tiny box, so it's really portable. The cards are fine. They're more of those fairly narrow, thin cards. But yeah, I like the game. I think the art is nice, though it's not super varied because it's mostly just, oh, here's a different expression on Robinson's face. But Friday is a relatively cheap game and it's pretty damn fun. And I like it because there is a decent amount of challenge and there are variations in difficulty. I haven't looked over the details exactly as to how you go about making it more difficult because I'm not at a point in my Friday expertise where I would be going around playing on level 5 difficulty or whatever. I'm going to stick around with the easy one for right now until I get my bearings straight. Plus, I feel like I got a grasp on a strategy that could work kind of well now. Though I still have to clarify that one rule thing, which please forgive me for not getting that right for y'all. But if you pick up Friday, you can figure it out. Maybe I'm just stupid and the instructions are super clear. But yeah, I need to look it over again. But that is all I've played since the last show. But now on to Kickstarter. So some of these, I think, may have already ended. But, or maybe not. No, none of them have ended yet. Some one's ending today fairly. It's tonight, so that could be gone by the time. By the time this is up, it should still be there. Whatever. So the ones that are ending soon that I have put in this week's Kickstarter picks. The first one is Heavy Steam, which I just really, really like the look of it. I think the production value is pretty damn good. And what I love about it is that it's basically a mech building game. You will battle it out. The object of the game is to defeat the other player's Titan. And what I love is that you can adjust, you can build your Titan however you like. So you can put points into his legs or his arms, you know, if you want to make a faster, more agile Titan, or if you want to make one stronger. You can change out the different weapons it has, and the little minis, the minifigures that come with the game will have interchangeable arms, so you can actually, you know, if you choose to go with a flamethrower or whatever, then you could actually put those arms on the minifig, which is cool. I like that. And it just looks like a fun game. Another one is the Pirate Deck, which reminds me a bit of Scallywags, but with less luck and just randomness of the Scallywags. The Pirate Deck is nowhere near getting funded, and it likely won't, but I think it looks like a fun, quick little card game, and I like games like this where it's just sort of, it works sort of in the same way as Scallywags, where you're trying to get the most gold, but unlike Scallywags, this ends when all the gold is taken from like the pile of booty or whatever they call it, as opposed to Scallywags, which is when everybody gets, I think, 8 pieces, then it ends. What I like, though, is that it just seems to be more strategic. I haven't played it myself in a way that you play cards. Like, you have a ship, and there are these coins on, like, the bottom or top left or right side of the cards. And to get a coin, you want to complete the coin. So, it's, you know, there's a half and on each card. So, you can, if one side of the pirate ship has a half silver coin in the top right corner, and then you have the next section card, and you have a card that has a half silver coin in the left top side, then you could play it there, and then you would create one coin, and you'd get one coin from that. So, of course, there are ways to steal other players' coins without playing a card on the ship and doing stuff like that, but it just seems like it could be a really fun, simple game. There are definitely things they could polish up, and maybe they'll do so and, you know, relaunch it. But, yeah, that is a Pirate Deck. Another game was Billionaire Banshee, Party Entertainment System. And this is sort of like Cards Against Humanity or Say Anything or those type of party games, which I'm a bit tired of. But what I like about Billionaire Banshee is that it seems to be a different, interesting take, where it is you flip over a perk and quirk card, and this will signify a sort of potential lover for the person who flipped over those cards. And then everyone votes like yes or no as to whether they think that person would date someone like that. So it could be one of the things could be they refuse to wear a diaper, which is kind of weird. I mean, there are like fantasy cards, serious cards, and then like other some other type of cards. There are three different things, and I think one is sexy. Sexy. I'm sexy, and I know it. Whoa. But you know, you could have that, and then also we'll randomly cheat on you. So you then choose. Oh, well. Do I think this person would care? Like maybe just say one of them is. One card is randomly cheat on you. The other card is they are, I don't know, whatever. They are absolutely the most beautiful person on the planet. If I play those two cards and you are all voting for me, and when you vote, you have to, I think one of the, also the stipulations is that you tell everyone why you would or wouldn't date the random combination. So you have to explain that too, which is could be kind of fun, or you could reveal some weird things, but like in that case, if people voted yes for that for me, they'd be very wrong, because there's no way in hell I would ever date anyone who randomly cheats on me. They cheat on me once, it's over, it's done, that's it. No cheating for me. And then the other one is Flick Wars, which I previewed a few weeks ago, I think, and it's not a terrible game. The only problem with it, I mean, it's a fine dexterity game. The problem with it is that it's a game where you have to make up your own fun. I think it's still worth checking out, because if you're into those kind of dexterity games and are willing to create your own fun, and when I say that, I mean, the way it works is that you have your pieces and your cards that tell you what abilities these pieces have. You have to, I mean, you just play it on a regular tabletop, and then you put on obstacles of your own kind. I mean, you can put on cups or whatnot. You can, if you have Lego creations, put Lego things on there. If you have things from other games or other stuff, you can use those as obstacles. But you have to create your own world, your own play area for the game. And that could be annoying for some. And also, I think the game plays a lot better on larger spaces, as opposed to, like, say you were playing on a tiny dining room table or something. I think it works much better if you're playing on a really big table, like if you had a giant dining room table or, say, a ping pong table, which I haven't played it on. That was a lot more fun than playing on a smaller table. So, I didn't love the game, but I think there are people out there who could really enjoy it, and I think it's at least worth checking out, just giving it a look-see. And then a few ones that just recently started up, 12 Realms Ancestors Legacy, which is a expansion pack for 12 Realms, which you can, if you didn't already pick up that game, you can pick it up through this Kickstarter. But it looks like it's a fun, light, cooperative game, and the expansion pack seems to add a lot more variation and randomness, and it seems to make things a lot more interesting, and I think it also will be adding more difficulty levels and making it a bit more challenging. It also comes with some really nice miniatures, and the production value just seems to be relatively high. It's from the same company that produces Among the Stars. Mage Company or something. So it's definitely worth checking out. But it seems to be on the lighter, simpler side, so if that's not to your liking, it probably won't change your mind, even this expansion pack, which seems to make it a bit more complicated and whatnot. And then the last one I want to talk about is Black Market Warehouse, which is a card game where you are trying to fill your warehouse with the most valuable goods by the end of the game. And it looks like it could be a really fun, quick card game. And one thing I kind of like, though I think this could really turn off some people, is that the creators have been pretty active so far in their Kickstarter campaign. And what I mean is they're really listening to their backers, their supporters, asking for feedback, wanting to know what people think, and will go so far as, and they've already done this so far once, go so far as to change something about the game after hearing a whole bunch of people vocalized an opinion about something. And the thing they change isn't a huge thing. It's not anything mechanical. It is simply that the items that you had, like there are like endangered species or very rare items, the way they were scored, the way all the valuation of everything was numbers. And people were talking, oh, it should be money. So they changed the valuation from just regular points to money. And I think that's a pretty good idea. I think that's not a too bad of an idea. So, yeah. I think it's worth checking out. Also, with that 12 Realms game, you can play it solo, which is really the reason why I had to single it out. But yeah, those are all the Kickstarter picks that I have for this week. But, you know, definitely check out Kickstarter in general, because there are a lot more games on there than just the few I've mentioned. But that is it for board games, and now I'm going to get really quick through the final part of the Heavenly Sword Game Club. Before I do that, taking a break for next week, and then after that we start Chrono Trigger, which you can find, you know, it's available on PSN. There's the DS version. It might be on the Wii U and the Wii Virtual Console. I'm not sure about that. But it's not that hard to get anymore. Of course, you could always emulate it, which you shouldn't. But you can. Or if you just have the original copy, you can just play that. But Heavenly Sword. Play through the last two chapters, which were much to my liking, really, really short. It was really, really fast to get through it all. And you start off the first bit of the chapter 5 or whatever, and it's, it's my sacred genitals. I'm like, oh, God, more with the genital crap. I don't care about that. Lunchbox was very upset when I forgot to mention the whole him, Lord whatever his face, Lord Circus, was tapping his little cod piece at the beginning of chapter 3. Yeah, I just coughed there and cut it out, so that's why I'm, like, confused. But the whole cod and the whole genitals thing was apparently it must be a big deal, because the way you defeated the boss at the end of the game is by really just beating the freaking crap out of his cod piece with your sword and everything. I don't know what the hell this game's all about. It is stupid. It is not fun. The fighting is not fun. There's nothing fun about the game. You unlock hell mode when you beat it. And like Lunchbox was saying, well, I thought we were already playing on hell because that game is a piece of crap. But I don't like Heavenly Sword. I don't like anything about it. The story is garbage. The gameplay is garbage. I don't think it was super difficult or anything, but I just did not enjoy a single bit about it, and I would have lost my mind if I was playing it and could only steer the arrows and all that kind of stuff with the six axis. That would have driven me insane. I don't want any more of that. But I need to end the show, because my throat is really starting to bug me. I do hope it wasn't too difficult to get through. And I hope that it was at least somewhat informative and a somewhat decent show, because I feel like my preparation and just my motivation and excitement level or anything is at an even lower than usual low, which I don't want y'all to have to deal with, especially if you're a first time listener. That really suck. But I hope y'all enjoy the show. So I will talk to y'all again on Friday after game night, if I am healthy enough to attend, which, God, I hope I am. We need to end the show already. So once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. And y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3, on Instagram mkush. I do want to, I'm starting out the pimps and pluggy plugs right now, but do check out boardgamelinks.com. It's a site that has a bunch of various lists with links to either, like, there's one that has just individual links to various news and reviews. There's one for websites, one for publishers, online stores, conventions, and then board games, where you can vote for your favorite things, or, you know, maybe not your favorite things, but you should vote for, in the website section, Pixelated Sausage. We've already received 40 votes, which is pretty awesome. I'm very happy and surprised and very pleased by that. It's put us in the top 100. We're currently in the Hot and Fresh websites. I'm not sure how long that lasts before they switch out the sites and all that, but it's been a very pleasing and positive little bit of, well, I don't know what I'm talking about, but check out BoardGameLinks.com. They have a lot of links to a lot of stuff, and it's a pretty well put together site so far. I was like, what else am I going to plug in? And I'm like, oh, my site, pixelatedsausage.com. If you somehow don't already know about that, definitely go there. You can support this site by, you know, shopping through the Amazon links, or you can donate if you want to directly. I'm still going to probably do that Patreon thing, but I want to get other things into play, because this whole transitioning to much more of a focus on board games is still in progress. But I've been very happy with the positive feedback from the board game community. Y'all are lovely for the most part. I say for the most part because I'm sure there are people who aren't so lovely. But all the people I've had experiences with, not including Game Night, have been absolutely lovely. So thank you all. So pixelatedsausage.com, that's where you can find everything. Check out the other podcast I do, which is more about video games, and therefore I haven't had anything to talk about it on it really at all for a while now. But that's at pixelatedradio.com. You can also check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Sports Car Unleashed Podcast at scunleashed.com, the Kicking Out at 2 podcast, which you can find on iTunes by kicking out the at symbol, the number 2, and Undercover Unitards is back. I'm pretty sure it's still just the once a month thing. I'm not sure if undercoverunitards.com is where you go, but they have a Facebook page, I'm pretty sure. I don't have all the details. I just was told by Hackcakes Man. I was like, hey, next time you do plugs, the Undercover Unitards is back, so do that. So that's what I'm doing. Next time, give me more details. Also, happy birthday, which was yesterday. But yeah, that is it. And of course, frontburner.net, that is frontburner without the E.net, frontburner.net. Check out that site, register, and do all that jazz and whatnot. It's a decent little site that y'all should be a part of. But that is it. I want to get the hell out of here. I want to get something to drink. So yeah, I hope y'all had a wonderful weekend, and I hope your week is absolutely delightful. And I hope I feel better by the next show, and I hope I feel better by game night so that I have some stuff to talk about on the next show. But yeah, that is it for today's episode, and adios, everybody. That wasn't a fart. That was just me. That was my mouth making noise. Færðu ekki fyrir núna færðu 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 þetta maður mín elska mín maður mín let kiss you by mér. Sem þú gerir eitthvað dú Núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera eitthvað dú Hjartan skal deyja aldrei eitthvað dú En þú er ekki hjörtu farðu 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 þetta maður mín Elska mín maður mín Let that kiss you by, let that kiss you by.